Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Eagle Mountain International Church, the revival capital of the world. Welcome to Faith Foundations. My name is Greg Stevens. I'm an associate pastor here and honored to be looking at the word with you today. First of all, let me tell you about something that is new that we just started. For those of you that are watching us on television, emic.org/faithfoundations. emic.org/faithfoundations. It's right there on the bottom of the screen. What you do is you'll go to that, and it'll ask you your name and your email, and then we'll send you a response saying you really want updates. This is going to be a way where you can get notes of what's being taught, either in real time or in the next week, that it'll be sent to you, directly to you. It'll be a quick way that you can watch in the weeks to come. But we're rolling it out so that you can be part of the Faith Foundations class and community worldwide, from the top to the bottom, all the way around the middle. Is that a good deal? So that's the address. You can go do that. I believe the notes for today are already up there. All right? Are you ready? Yeah. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We honor you. We ask you to wash us in your word that we'll never be the same. In Jesus' mighty name, we are focused on you and you alone, what you have for us in this year of abundant harvest. We give you all praise and all glory, and all majesty belongs to you. You are great and greatly to be praised. We lift you up in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. Pastor, I'm deferring. Keep going. Anything you want to add at any time, jump in. All right. The primary way, I was going to talk about something and really get into some things, and I got a check in my spirit yesterday that you have to talk about this part of the harvest before you go there. You ever had the Lord do that to you? The primary direction that he leads us is by his word. Okay? Secondarily, then, would be the Spirit. So he'll lead you by his word and then by the Spirit. Jesus also, though, said he would instruct you with signs. Signs in that, you remember this? But that's not the primary way, but that is a way. For those that have ears to hear and eyes to see, and the sons of Issachar knew what season it was and what the nation ought to do. So the Western mind sees prophecy like this: prediction and fulfillment. You predict something, and then it's fulfilled. The Eastern mindset, or the Hebraic mindset, doesn't see prophecy that way. They see prediction, and then they see a revelation, or they'll see a pattern of a revelation, which leads to fulfillment. But they'll look for a pattern. Jesus talked about this. How many of you look at the sky, and you know that it's this season or that season, right? So, signs in the sun, primarily, symbolically in Scripture, were symbolic of the nations. So something going on with the sun was symbolic of the nations. We had a total solar eclipse at Jesus' crucifixion. Okay. Signs in the moon typically dealt with covenant people, or we would say this way, with Israel. The lunar cycle is 28 days. The sun also is typically, stereotypically masculine. The moon is stereotypically feminine. Okay? So anytime you see, remember when we had all the blood moons and everybody was thinking that something was going to happen in America? I'm thinking, no, it's always been, that's Israel. All right? So now when they're coming together, that's a different thing. I don't want to get in too deep into this. All right? So lunar signs are dealt with the covenant nations or the covenant people, and but I do know this. We are in a season of Israel and the United States being prophetically connected one to another. We are in a season. And when you see that, combine that with Brother Copeland's word for 2019 and other things that we're seeing even in the news today, the news this morning. I made a mistake. I turned it on. My goodness. Hashtag expose Christian schools. I mean, the movement is to come against Christian schools. and just the all-out assault, and when you understand the prophetic things that are happening right now in the year of abundant harvest, you can understand why there would be abundant harvest while everything else is acting this direction. Because the line has been drawn, and we are in a prophetic season right now. Last week, I talked to you about Brother Copeland's 2019 word and keeping it before us, and he specifically mentioned older spiritual saints training the younger ones. Remember that? And I had you turn to 1 John chapter 2. And we read that. Today we're going to Hebrews. I'm writing to you little children. I'm going to repeat it for you. I'm writing to you little children because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. This is 1 John 2, verse 12. I'm writing to you fathers because you've known him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men because you've overcome the evil one. I'm writing it to you fathers because you've known him who's from the beginning. He repeats that. Young men, because you're strong and the word of God lives in you and you've overcome the evil one. And I broke those down for you, those three different ones with the Greek words. Little children means all believers in that first use of little children. The next use of little children means babies. All right? It's someone that's deeply loved. The fathers is where we get the word paternity. And the young men is where we get the word for our youth, where we talk about those of you in Pennsylvania, the Utes, right? I had a friend that I went to college with. He's always, I'm going into the Ute ministry. The what? Infants, pediatrics. So you older ones, you need to be training up the other ones. The older ones know him. Paul talked about to know him, right? There's a quiet confidence in knowing him. The young ones, the young men, are the ones that are fighting the wars. We send young men to war, don't we? The young ones know how they've used the word and they found out that the devils are subject to us in your name and they're warring. And yes, we take it to the devil, but you grow to a level where you're not so much focused on him. You might realize he's up to something and you go and you deal with it and you get right back to him. Right? You've grown in maturity. We're talking about growing. All right? So all of those things talked about last time. I write to you fathers because you've known him from the beginning. Who is that we've known from the beginning? It's Jesus. It's growing in love to the point that I trust him. All right? My eyes are on him. My battles are taken care of because I keep my eyes on him. As long as Peter had his eyes on him, he was fine, right? Sure, Satan comes at me, but I'm not in that kingdom anymore. I've grown to a place I know I'm not in that kingdom. I'll deal with that and move on. Right? Okay, so Paul said the ultimate growth is to know him and the power of his resurrection. The more knowledge I have of him, the more the love grows. The more the love grows, the stronger my faith. The stronger my faith, the more I walk in love. Come on, right? Faith works how? Okay, class, let's try this again. How does faith work? Who is love? God is love, right? So now, in this, where is that? Let's look at this picture again. Here's the harvest. Abundant harvest, ready to come in. And you see something. See, this was part of what he saw. The storm clouds. There was something happening that we needed to hurry and get this in, right? Yeah. It's amazing to me, having grown up with an uncle who raised wheat, was a wheat farmer, rancher. Harvest time, you can tell if you're a city guy or a country guy when you mention harvest. You mentioned harvest to a church I did in California one time. We were talking about harvest and everybody's cheering harvest. And I'm thinking, if you grew up around harvest, there's no cheering when it's harvest time. Are you kidding me? Harvest time is the hardest time to work. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? You grew up around this? That means all hands on deck. That means my aunt used to fix lunch and take it to the field so that you didn't leave the field and waste time because it's harvest time. That means we're in a hurry. There is a push. We're watching the sky. We're checking the soil. We're looking at the temperature. Come on, all of that. He's watching the weather report for the next day because we're getting this in. So I always kind of smile a little smirk when it's harvest time and everybody's like, woo, that means I can kick my feet up. It does not mean you kick your feet up. That means we're pressing on for what we have sown. It's now time to reap that. Okay, well, you guys got quiet on me, some of you. I remember in Israel, we had a tour. We were taking it, and there's a rabbi friend of mine. They live in a kibbutz that is like it was in the first century. He'll show you how Jesus made fish and bread and all on the shore. He'll show you, you'll make cheese, you'll milk a goat, you'll ride a donkey, you know, just like it was in the first century. And it began to sprinkle. It was a bunch of Californians from the city, just saying, and it began to sprinkle. And he snickered because some of our people were like, oh, because it never rains in Southern California, right? It's a freaky thing for them. And he said, city people don't like rain. But for me, rain is life.
Yeah. That's true. That's
right. He said, see my fields out there? I need this rain for those fields. And it began to change my thinking about things. I don't complain about rain any longer because rain means life. Rain is part of what I need for next year. All right. So there's an urgency to get this harvest in over and over in prophecies concerning this ministry. From Reverend Billy Burt to the original ones from Lake Country, all of them. It talks about people coming here and being safe. Yes. About them, isn't there that sense that they're on their way, that they're coming. I'm glad you got here and I'm glad you're safe. Now, here we go. This is a place of blessing and refuge in the harvest time. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And verse number 6, let me show you something. Because part of the policies and politics of this nation, and I don't like to talk about politics during messages on Sunday morning, but I'm going to tell you, that you hear these sanctuary states and sanctuary cities, right, and all of this, and they use what I'm going to talk to you about today, but they got it wrong, and I'm going to show you where. Hebrews chapter 6, and I think I've got... You've got the New King James here. I'm going to also read it out of the Amplified. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Notice that. Because this class is all about growing up, isn't it? Isn't that right? Didn't he say in his word about us growing up? This is therefore leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. And this we do if God permits. Now, he wrote that, the writer writes that, saying, if I have time permitted in this word, in my letter, I'll do it. Well, thank God he did. He does that in chapter 7, if you go on and see that, right? Let's go on. If God permits. Now, the book of Hebrews is it's one of my favorites. Book of Hebrews is a study in becoming confident. If you lack confidence, listen to me. If you lack confidence, get yourself in the book of Hebrews and get into 1 John. Let your love develop and get in that book of Hebrews. It's about becoming confident. It is living by faith and not by sight. That's the book of Hebrews. That's key to what the Lord gave this year. Let me read you again what Brother Copeland said. I'm going to require you, says the Lord, to walk by faith. 2019. I'm going to require you, saith the Lord, to walk by faith. I'm going to require you to get healed on your own faith. That's not a discouraging thing, guys. Don't look at that and say, well, I don't want to get healed on my own faith. Most of the people that Jesus dealt with, he said, your faith has made you whole. Isn't that interesting? Okay, look at this. And he goes on to say in his word, be it done unto you as you have believed, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Listen to this. I'll keep going with his word for 2019. I'm requiring more of those of you older children in the family. I'm requiring more of you because you're older. It's time for you to help with the babies. Because a baby, I mentioned this earlier when we were talking about babies in 1 John 2 last week, there's two different words. There's infant babies and there's toddler babies. That's the two words he uses. A toddler will put anything in their mouth, right? A bug or a Cheerio, doesn't matter. It's going there. And that's why those of you that are older concerning the word of the Lord, you need to help them not take bugs and put it in their mouth. All right, I'll go on. It's time for you to help with the babies, Brother Copeland said. It's time for you to see to it that the babies get an opportunity to know me. Isn't that an interesting thing? He said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul said the ultimate goal is to know him. It's time for you to give the babies the opportunity to know me. That's our growth pattern, is to get them to the place where they know him, that they know his character, they know his word, right? They know his heart, right? To know him, the power of his resurrection. Now let's just go on. Let me keep going. That's the word that he said, the opportunity to know me. Now he goes on in chapter 7 and describes these things. I'm not going to talk about those at this time. Before he lists the elementary things, he encourages them to move forward into perfection. In Hebrews chapter 6 here, he begins to list some of the elementary things. All right? Let me read it to you out of the Amplified. Listen to this. Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrines of the Christ or the Messiah, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, dead formalism, and of the faith by which you turn to God. See that? With teachings about purifying, the laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, the eternal judgment, and the punishment. These are all matters of which you should have been fully aware long ago. Now, who is the writer? Some believe this is Paul. Some believe Barnabas or Apollos, one of his disciples, wrote Hebrews. Who is this book written to? That's how you determine prophecy. It's written to the church. Well, the name of the book is what? Hebrew believers. Is that correct? So he's explaining some things. It's really a good parallel book to Galatians, which is written to Gentiles. He's explaining some things. You should know this because of the way you were raised. See it? So he's describing these things. Now that word for perfection there means maturity in the Greek. Growing up demands or requires two things. You're a believer in fellowship with the Lord Jesus, number one. And you have a steady diet of God's word, number two. You cannot grow in a relationship and not eat. Ma'am. Yes, I'll say it slower. Growing up demands or requires two things. You are first a believer in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say in fellowship, you're walking in the light. You with me? You're walking in the light, you're in fellowship. You're not out living like the world. Come on now. You're not going to grow that way either. Don't shout me down now. Look at me with that tone of voice. And number two, you have a steady diet of his word. Bill Winston said this, I love this. If you want to go to another level, you have to eat at another level. You have to. You have to go to another level. Right? The local hamburger place up here serves steak. It comes from the same place. Steak and hamburger comes from the same place, from the same source. You understand that? It's just different cuts and the way it's prepared. Yes? So, example. My wife's family, Italian heritage, there's a difference in spaghetti. There's a different level of spaghetti. I'm not hating on SpaghettiOs right now, but SpaghettiOs is not spaghetti in her family. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody told, how many of you love tamales? Okay, taco, Mexican food. You like Mexican food?
Yeah.
And I'm not hating on Taco Bell, but Taco Bell is not the highest level. Is there anyone that would give me a witness in this room? Anyone of Hispanic heritage in here, would you please tell me, am I correct? There's another level. There's tamales. Love some tamales. Amen. Everybody's hungry now. And then I saw in the store the other day, canned tamales. I went, what? Listen to the groan. If you can you hear the groan? Are you groaning where you're at? Canned tamales is not the same thing. Is that right? I mean, it is what it is, but I'm going to submit to you, as the body of Christ, in a lot of ways, we have substituted SpaghettiOs when we need to go to a higher level. It's time to go to a higher level. 2019, abundant harvest. I'm going to require you, says the Lord. Brother Copeland said this right here on December 31st, to walk by faith. I'm going to require you to get healed on your own faith. Some of you, I love you, but you've had so many hands laid on you by so many people, you got just like a shiny dent right here. And by now, we've got to go to another place. You like that, Gene? So, you're a believer in fellowship with the Lord. You're in fellowship. And you have a steady diet of God's word. Now, I'm not going to go into all the baptisms and things that he talked about right there, but we're going to go on. The two elementary foundational items that the writer said right here, two foundational items were repentance from dead works and faith toward God. That's elementary stuff. Both of those things deal with your new birth. In other words, he's saying, after your new birth, you should have moved on past that. You got that down. If you're still doubting whether you're saved or not, either you haven't been taught or you never got saved. Are you saved?
Yes.
How do you know?
I just know.
Prove it.
I don't
either. Well, how do you know?
I
don't think you are. Really don't think you are.
I believe it.
Not certain.
I don't care what you believe.
You don't care what I believe. Once you know, the enemy, let me tell you what he does. One of his favorite tricks is to bring, especially if you get angry in a parking lot, in a car, or stopped at a train. Which I love. I love trains. I'm confessing love for trains all the time. I'm working on my flesh where trains are concerned. What he loves to do is show you a picture of yourself from years ago. You know, the big thing right now on social media is to do a picture of yourself, 10 years ago, and a picture of yourself now. Right? That's the big thing, to see if you've changed anyway. The enemy will always show you a picture of what you used to look like and say, look, nothing's changed. I'm the same guy I was in high school, but if you look at a picture of me, a lot of things are different. This is different. These are different. Just say it, right? So it's time that we move on. Let me submit this to you. The milk is what Jesus fulfilled on the earth when he was fulfilling the covenant that was passing away. The meat is what he's doing now in the kingdom in his heavenly realm. Where we live in the epistles. Stay with me now. Stay with me. I'm submitting this to you. I'm willing to be wrong in this. The milk is what Jesus did when he fulfilled on his earth in his earthly life. Right? It's the priestly, kingly ministry of faith and grace empowered by the Holy Spirit in you that is the meat. And that's what we need to be feeding on going on. If I had the time, I could break these verses down in Hebrews chapter 7 and 8. He shows some illustrations of maturity in verse 7 and 8, but I need to go on. Let me show you what I wanted to show you concerning this picture back here for us to see. Let's go down to verse 13. Connected to this, now we're talking about spiritual growth and maturity. And he says an interesting phrase. The writer in Hebrews, speaking primarily to Jewish believers, raised Jewish, says something very interesting when we get down to verse 18. But let me set it up by going to verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. Year of harvest. We're liking this so far, right? Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. I like it. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. I'm reading out New King James. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, here they are, in which it is impossible for God to lie. Number one, we might have strong consolation who have fled. Who have fled? Who have fled? Listen to this. For refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have in an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Do you see that? Coming after the order of Melchizedek. Now look at that phrase, who have fled to him for refuge. Fled to him as a refuge. That word is the same word that's used in the Old Testament when you get over into Joshua chapter 20, and you get over into Leviticus, Deuteronomy, others, where we talk about cities of refuge. Now, the prophecies concerning this place have to do with people getting here. How many of you in this room in Faith Foundations moved from somewhere else primarily to come here to Eagle Mountain International Church? Raise your hand. No, let's do it differently. How many of you moved here from somewhere else? The rest of you don't do this, but you moved here, stand up, to come to this church. From somewhere else, you moved to come here. I'm standing. I'm one of those. Look at this. Look around you. That's, Pastor, that's over half. Thank you. You can be seated. This place, this place is a refuge for whatever that is. And you're part of this harvest to raise up, to learn, to grow, to begin to teach those babies to know him. And the ones that are coming here. Listen, we know we're growing in this thing. We know how to receive our healing by faith. Therefore, we're going to prefer others when they get here and teach them and let them get in line. Oh, well, I went there. So we fled. You and I have fled here as a refuge. I've noticed the difference in our family. My sons are flourishing. I'm watching the fruit of it. The word is the same word here in Hebrews that's used in the Old Testament, if you read the Greek Septuagint, for cities of refuge. This is a New Testament reference to the church age about, to a Hebrew audience, about an example of cities of refuge. You see it? This picture up here behind me shows the storm clouds, something that's coming. We need to take refuge. We got to get the harvest in. It's a spiritual place, yet it's a physical place. Cities of refuge were a physical place, but they also were a spiritual place. Let me talk to you in the remaining time that I have concerning cities of refuge so you can understand them. 7 years after the Israelites entered into the promised land, the land was divided amongst the tribes. Do you remember before they went in, Caleb and Joshua and Caleb were talking about, he said, give me my land. Remember, he said, well, let us go fight those cities first. And once we fight those cities, then you got it. Remember that?
Yes.
Caleb was 80 years old. So they divided the land 7 years after they entered. You find it. All the details of it are in Joshua chapter 14. The priestly tribe of Levi did not receive a section of land for them. The priestly tribe didn't get that inheritance because they were to live among all the people in 48 cities, including the cities of refuge. The Lord was their inheritance, and they were to live among the people. All right? These cities, six of them were called refuge cities. Of the 48 cities, six were refuge cities. They were strategically chosen so that anyone living in Israel could get to one in a time of trouble. You could get there. It was within a day's walk to get there, okay? Not just, here's the thing I like about it because it points to our time. The city of refuge was not just for the Jew, it was for Gentiles living in the nation as well. So here's the thing, we're working together, we're working and we're chopping, let's say we're chopping wood, excuse me, my axe handle comes off, hits you in the head and you die, all right? According to the law, I need to run to a city of refuge for a trial because it's an accidental death. Now, if it's found to be on purpose, then something else would kick in. But what it is for you to escape the avenger of blood. That's what it was, right? Because what would happen is the next of kin in your family would come after me. Eye for an eye. All right? So in Joshua chapter 20 and verse 9, you find the listing of the names of these cities. There were three on the west side of Jordan and three that were on the right side of Jordan as you look at the map, okay? And you can read it in the New King James. It says this, there were cities appointed for all the children of Israel, for the stranger who dwelt among them, that whoever killed a person accidentally might flee there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. So there it is. That's what it's about. So you had Kadesh, Shechem, and Hebron. All on the west side. Golan, Ramoth, Gilead, and Bezer all on the east side of Jordan. Here's some interesting things that I want you to think about. Because you all came, I believe, to not just a spiritual, but a physical place of refuge. They were not just spiritual, they were physical. And physical and spiritual. We are that, right? The real you is the spirit. Is that correct? Are you spirit? But you live in this body, this physical body, right? I believe that's what goes to Pastor George's portals. I believe that that's what we're seeing all over the nation, different places that God is raising up. And I believe this one, the revival capital of the world, is significant, pivotal in this thing. The roads, now listen to this. The roads that led to a city of refuge, they were to be improved.
Oh, good gracious.
According to the law, the roads were wide.
Wow.
Now think about this for a second. Go back and remember the Psalms when David talked about God being his what? Refuge.
Yes.
And my strong tower. David, I would submit to you, used a city of refuge. Now listen to this. The roads leading to them in Israel, ancient Israel, were to be improved. They were to be very broad and smooth and level. They were to be repaired. They were required to be repaired after every spring rain season. They had to repair those roads. Roads to the city of refuge had to be perfect, so that nothing would slow people from getting there. I feel a shout coming on. Now listen to this. Listen to this now. I'm giving you the laws for the cities of refuge. and how you recognize them. Well, how would I know how to get there? I don't know where I'm at. They were positioned from north to south on the west side, from north to south on the east side, spaced out so that anyone, anywhere in the nation of Israel could get to one within a day. Even if you're walking, you can get to one because the roads are improved, all right? And they're level. They would come in and level the roads. They would grade them. They would make them smooth. They would make it where nothing would hinder a donkey ride, a walk, a cart, anything. You can get there. You can get there from here. Listen to this now. So leading to them, the roads were improved. They were broad and they were smooth and they were level. They were to be repaired every spring. It's part of the law. Now listen to this. There were laborers, or they were referred to as harvesters. No, you're not hearing me. Let me try over here. There were laborers who were sometimes called harvesters. What year is this? No, come on. What year is this? There were harvesters. They were called harvesters, or they could be called laborers who were sent on all of these roads. They were sent on the roads, and you were their escort into the city of refuge. Jesus makes a statement. Pray for laborers or harvesters. The harvest is plenty, but there's not enough. So they would position laborers or harvesters. Now listen to this. Who were learned in the law of God. That's the key thing. These are not novices that were out there as harvesters on the roads, on the highways. Now it takes a whole new thing. Now when I study the guy, remember the Good Samaritan? That whole thing takes a whole new light, doesn't it? So I don't know if he was the harvester, or if the guy who should have been the harvester, the priest, went and should have harvested him. He didn't do his job or something. One harvester either got it right or they got it wrong. Wow. But I'm seeing somebody on a road get ambushed, right? And three potential harvesters come out there. Now all of these stories start to take on a whole new meaning, don't they? Because that's what you and I are called to do. To go, that's what Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. That's what we were called to do, is it not? And here's the thing, look at this now. The roads are improved. They are broad, smooth, and level. They are to be repaired, under constant repair. The road to the city of refuges are never to be in disrepair. And laborers or harvesters learned in the law of God were to be stationed along the roads to guide someone who is in a hurry. The person coming to the city of refuge is going to be stressed out and in a hurry. I need some laborer, some harvester, learned in the word to be there, to guide them. Let me go back to this phrase again from Brother Copeland. It's time for you to help with the babies. It's time for you to see to it that the babies get an opportunity to know me. See it? So these three cities, three on the west, three on the east, have improved roads, repaired after the spring rains, have laborers learned in the law, stationed along the roads to guide them. So here's what's happening. A guy is running down the road as fast as he can. He's tired. Maybe there's a guy or two guys chasing behind him with swords. And he cries out, refuge. And this person, knowledgeable in the word, is going to help that person that's fighting for their life, running for their life, get to a place that's safe. Jesus said, pray for laborers to be sent out. Now listen to this. I'll go on with the road. I'm not done with these roads to the cities. Number one, there is to be a sign at every crossroad, every road that crosses a road to the city of refuge. There's to be a sign with the inscription Michlat on it. It means refuge. So there's a sign pointing that way. There's a sign pointing saying Newark, Texas, North Fort Worth. There's a sign so that when you get on 35 or you get on 30 or whatever, it says that way is a city of refuge. The gates, listen to this, number two. So number one, there was a sign with an inscription that said refuge at every intersection that crossed that road so that you wouldn't take the wrong turn. And in case you did, there's people learned in the law out there. Harvesters are out there. He said in his word, outside the walls of this church, there are people at Walmart, there are people at Kroger that are looking for refuge. And you're walking down the aisle. Learned in the law of God. Listen, number two. So we had a sign at every intersection. Number two, the gates of these cities were never to be locked or closed. We've talked about church 7 days a week, healing school 7 days a week. We've got our own television network going 365 days a year, 7 days a week. Every day, every hour, every minute of every day, preaching this word. Woo, glory to God. The gates of the cities are never to be closed or locked. Upon entering the city, here's what you did. There's a rule to this. Upon entering the place, this is why, sorry, California, I'm from there, right? This is why you're not a sanctuary state or a city. Upon entering the place, you present yourself to the local authorities. And explain why you're there. You present yourself to the authorities and saying, I need a trial. They're safe and they're taken care of until time for trial. Now here's the deal. Here's the backside of this. If you leave the city prematurely on your own, there's no protection for you. Now listen to this. These cities, according to Joshua 29, I read it to you, are to be open to all, to everyone. It says whosoever. It says whosoever in Joshua 29. In John 3:16, it says this, whosoever believes in him shall not perish. So number three, the cities are open to all. Number four, every city of refuge, here it comes. Here's why. I may run, Gene. You come finish this. Here it is. Every city of refuge. Let me go down the list again. There's to be a sign at every crossroads so that you don't take the wrong turn. Nothing is to hinder the person fleeing to this physical and spiritual place. Nothing is to hinder you. The gates of the city are never to be closed or locked. The cities are open to anyone, whosoever. Come on. And number four, the city of refuge was to be a supply house. It was to be a great warehouse that is always continually stocked with food and water. Hallelujah. It is continually a stocked supply warehouse. So that even if you hadn't hurt anybody, but you live somewhere in Israel that's experiencing famine, what do? I go to one of the cities of refuge because that's my storehouse. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. It's a storehouse. Every city of refuge was required to be a supply house, a storehouse, a great warehouse, stocked with food and water, not just to, they didn't just protect you, they supplied you. You brought your supply to the city of refuges. Here's the deal. It's to make the Lord easy to reach. They could only safely leave. Now, listen to this. Here's how you would leave. If you hadn't had your trial, you could only safely leave and return to your own home after the death of the high priest. So if the high priest died while you're in a city of refuge, you're cleared. You can leave. You can look this up in Numbers 35, Joshua 20, Deuteronomy 4, and Deuteronomy chapter 19. You can look all this up. I'm not going to take the time. Numbers 35. Joshua 20, which I've already mentioned, Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 19. Now, here's the picture. Jesus is our refuge. Listen to this. I read it to you just a second ago. As our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So let me help you with something. Your high priest hasn't died. He's never going to die. Come on now. He's never going to die. So listen to this. My salvation, my place of refuge is secure. I am secure in a place of salvation and refuge. The avenger can't touch me because I'm in a place. I'll put it this way, a secret place. I'm in a place. There's a place in him, a place of refuge. There's a place, listen to me, there's places spiritually. And there's places physically. You're in one of those. I'm going to submit to you that we're in one. This is a physical and spiritual place. A supply house. Glory to God. These cities not only protected the innocent. See, they only protected the innocent. If you held your trial and you were found guilty, you were killed. But if you were innocent, you were protected. They only protected the innocent. Jesus didn't die for the innocent. He died for the guilty. We were all guilty. The way his power saves us is when we run to him as our refuge. Now, let me show you Hebrews chapter 7 very quickly. 2 minutes left. You ready? Let me show you Hebrews chapter 7. Verse number 22. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing, right? But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those priests to offer up sacrifices for his own sins and then for the people's. For he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word, the oath which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. So we talked a moment ago at the very beginning of this about it's time for you to grow past the elementary things into perfection. That's growing into that maturity of your refuge, of your high priest. And he has called you to be kings and priests. Let me help you with something. The avenger has no access to Jesus. Pastor George, this is why he told you, I want my church back. Because this is a Jesus church. This is a Jesus place. He is the high priest. And he will stop any avenger that comes near this place. There are angels around about this place. My God. The avenger has no access to him. We were tried and we were found guilty, condemned, crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected with him. And we have come into, let me give you the names real fast. You can get the notes. I'll give you the names real fast of what they mean. Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, Bezer, Ramoth, Golan. Holy place, shoulder, fellowship, stronghold or fortress, exalted or heights, and separated. He is a holy place of the righteous that first needed cleansing. He is a refuge or shoulder for the weary. Remember, John laid his head on his shoulder. He's the fellowship or community for those that are wondering. It is the strength and victory of a strong tower. It is we are seated with him and we are not without hope. It is separated for his purpose and separated from all temptation and harm. That is a city of refuge, and that's where you and I have chosen to be and worship, and that's what we're part of in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Did you get anything out of this?
Yes.
Well, let's stand and praise him for a second. Let's shout. Let's thank. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you in Jesus' mighty name that we are part of a city of refuge, a spiritual refuge, a physical refuge in Jesus' mighty name. All right. Amen. Amen. Take a break. We'll be back with Pastor George in just a moment.